This is tape number 11 of a 16 tape series, the topic of which is humility. The message was given by Pastor Grace Cheng in Mandarin Chinese. Here is her message. Recently, we have been focusing on the topic of humility. Today, we will continue. Let's turn to the Bible, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 6 through 8. It reads like this. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. Then again, let's look at verse 11 and 12. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Well, here the Bible says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We are like a foolish lamb and sheep. We just gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So God gave us this salvation. This salvation itself, the essence itself, the message itself, the way he does that is by sending his only begotten Son to us and died for our iniquities on the cross. And he said, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. So he was like a sheep who was left to the slaughter field. The purpose of this is to save us, to free us from the bondage of sins. So later he said, therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many. For he bore the sin of many. So what we can see from these few verses, Jesus just humbled himself. He just lowered himself down to the status of a man. Because he humbled himself unconditionally, so he can save all of us. We are stray sheep. So God just gave us this salvation through sacrificing the life of his very own Son on the cross. Let's turn to another passage, which is in the Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, take in very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross, even death on the cross. The verse says here, who, being in very nature, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In the original meaning, which means not only did not consider equality, but he did not grasp onto his identity. He did not just hold tight onto his glory. That's what the original means is about. So he said, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But, which means oppositely, what he did is conversely, but made himself nothing. Another translation is made himself of no reputation. Made himself of no reputation. So he is not pursuing reputation. He is not pursuing respect. He is not pursuing esteem. He just humbled himself. Despite the fact that he has this identity with God himself. Here then, he made himself nothing, which means that he humbled himself and take in the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself. Look, he humbled himself, which means he chose to humble himself. He took the initiative. He took the first step to humble himself before God and before men and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So through Jesus' perfect humility, complete humility, so he just brought us this heavenly salvation. So look, before he said, what we read in Isaiah said, he is like a sheep brought into the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, and he did not open his mouth. The Chinese translation had footnotes, says, he was persecuted, he was afflicted, but he humbled himself, refused to open his mouth. That's the Chinese footnote. There's this Christian sister. At one time, she just gave this tract, religious tract, to a young man. And the young man just took it over and spit it and crumbled it and threw it onto the ground. And this sister just bent down and picked up that ripped pieces, and she wiped this spit off her dress. And she turned around to the man. She said, well, excuse me, I did not know the track I gave you really just angered you, made you so upset. How about let me give you another one? Then that, what the sister just said, really stunned that young man. He was really stunned. Then he just started and sort of like stumbled a little bit. Then he said, well, just gave me the original one. So she gave him the original one. You know what? That young man ultimately became a Christian. See, this really shows us humility really brings about salvation, brings about liberty, brings about freedom from God. So God's qualities, God's salvation is brought into this earth through the very quality, which is a heavenly quality, that's humility. So we can see here very clearly these few verses. Jesus brought salvation to this world through his humility. I remember Martina just shared with me her experiences before she became a Christian. She and Mingwen, Sister Mingwen, the two of them, they just work in the same place with the same company. And Mingwen tried to preach the gospel to her, and she said, well, just forget it. I'm so stubborn. You just don't dream about it. I will never become a Christian. But strangely enough, it seems between the two, Martina noticed that how come that Sister Mingwen could be so stupid, so foolish? Because it's very obvious that whenever in their work environment, in their offices, whenever any tough jobs come up, then something obvious is a bad deal. And when Martina tried to push it aside and push it to Mingwen, Mingwen just always gladly received it. Accepted it without any complaining, without any defending of herself. And so Martina thought, how come? How come can this Christian can be so foolish? Because it's so obvious it's a bad deal. But Mingwen is willing to take it over. Mingwen is willing to just take the responsibility to tackle these difficult jobs, to crack the hard nuts. And not only that, Mingwen has been always very nice to her. Even though she just refused to listen to the gospel, but Mingwen keeps on being very, very nice to her. So at one time, Martina was enrolled in schoolwork. So every day after work, Martina stayed in the office to try to study for a few hours. But since then, the whole office was kind of deserted. So Martina felt this fear, just a gripping fear, which is attacking her. And Ming Wen realized that. Ming Wen just also sensed it. So when there is no church meetings, no church service or activities going on at a church, Ming Wen just offered to stay with her, to keep her company, so she will not feel fearful. So Martina was really touched and also just puzzled. How come? Why did she do that? And she is waiting so much time on me. So this relationship continued for a long time. And sometimes when they were discussing work in the office, Martina oftentimes showed impatience towards Ming Wen, because it seems Ming Wen appears to be kind of slow in picking up new things, in understanding some of the new concepts. So Martina showed impatience to her. But miraculously, Ming Wen always reacted in a very positive way. Ming Wen always reacted with a joyful spirit that even made Martina more surprised. What is going on here? What happened? So this relationship went on for more than half a year. Then finally, Martina's heart was so touched, and she just accosted Ming Wen and said, "Well, I would like to go to church with you." See, this is another spirit of humility at work. This is a good example. Through the humble attitude of Ming Wen, God's salvation has been reaching Martina. That is another example. So this is an example shows how Jesus brought his salvation into this wicked world. The way he brought into this is through his manifestation of the heavenly quality of the humility. So like Martina always thought, why Ming Wen is so stupid? Ming Wen is so foolish and taking the difficult stuff, taking the hard nut to crack. But through Ming Wen's manifestation, Ming Wen's display of the heavenly quality of the humility, Martina's heart was touched. Martina's inner eyes were opened. Her inner ears were opened. And later on, Martina even found out Ming Wen wasn't slow at all. Ming Wen wasn't foolish or stupid or anything. Far from it, because Ming Wen had this spirit of humility. Ming Wen had this humble attitude. And she just dealt with Martina always with the humble attitude. So this is the essence of inner life. So by going through into the inner life, we need to live a complete humble life, a complete humble spirit. We need to have this humble spirit in dealing with all the things coming into our lives. For the Christians who carries the spirit of humility and the fragrance, the aroma of a godly life will be felt, will be smelled by the people around them. So this is the victorious life of Jesus Christ. So let me repeat one more time. A humble attitude will really bring God's salvation to other people. And this is the way Jesus has treaded before us. Jesus has opened up this pathway. So we need to follow his footsteps. So by following him, then all the humble people we come into contact will be changed. Their life will be changed. Their heart will be changed. There was this wife, and she had a very difficult relationship with her husband. Her husband always gives her a very hard time. Her husband just loves to pick on her, to just sniff at her and just slight her. And when she helps her children with their schoolwork, math, science, all that, her husband will quit saying, "Well, You, are you kidding? You want to have your children with math? You are so stupid. With your money, you think you can do a job like that? Forget it. You can't do a decent job. You can never help your children. So that really hurts this wife. And the husband has been doing this for a long, long time during their very long marital relationship. And when later on the wife started to practice inner life, by the time when she just drew near God, God just spoke to her heart. God said, well, next time when your husband doing these things, when your husband are just giving you these bitter words, these harsh words, what you can do is, instead of a fight back, instead of try to be defensive of yourself, you can compliment him on his strengths. You can praise him on his strong points. What? She never expected to hear something like that from the Lord. Yes, that's what Lord told him. And before, when a husband every time just gave her a hard time, her normal quick reaction or response would be, well, how about your own sense of direction? You have a really lousy sense of direction. But now she changed. She followed the guidance of the Lord. She just obeyed the teachings of the Lord. She said, when her husband said, well, you are so sweet, how can you teach your children? She said, yes, you are right, my dear husband, you are right. I am slow, I am kind of stupid, and I admire your brain power. I admire you are so smart, you are so intelligent, so you can be very good with our family finances. Without your brain power, I don't know what I could do with my finances, stuff like that. But her husband continued to behave like that. So every time when a husband attacked her with these bitter words, and her response would be something like, yes, thank you very much for pointing these things out for me. Thank you very much for letting me know, to showing me my weaknesses, my areas which I need to work on. And next time when you see more, please just let me know. As soon as you see that, I think I can work on it and try to improve. Now, the worst of all, the husband really loves to do one thing which is really, really painful for the wife. That because this is the wife's second marriage. During her first marriage, she had altogether three children, but the youngest one, at one time, the youngest one went to a neighbor's house. The neighbor's house had a swimming pool. They had a party around the swimming pool. When the hostess of their house went out for some kind of errand, or maybe buying some stuff in a local supermarket, and for a short period of time, when she came back, they found out this wife's youngest child drowned. Then because of that, this first marriage just broke down. They ended up with a divorce. Then later on, this single lady, just divorced lady, just got into business, and she was very, very successful, and she just made a lot of money. And great fortune, she even bought herself a few residences. She became a millionaire, and she was so successful. But because of that, and she had a very good life, but she was still single because she was divorced. Then this second husband got into contact with her. Somehow they got to know each other. They started this courtship. And during their first phase of courtship, the future second husband would be very nice to her, and she shared her personal painful experiences, first marriage, all the things with this young guy. And this young guy even commented how bad your husband was. And if I were your husband, I would never behave like that. And later on, after some period of courtship, they just got married. After they got married, the wife just sold some of her residence, just to help the second husband to finish medical school. And after a few years, the second husband finished medical school, but his job went into a different part of the state and town, and so they just moved. So the wife quit her own business. She closed down her own business, just quit her job, and she just followed the second husband to this new place because the husband was setting up his medical career. So after that, when they moved over there, and the wife paid for the medical education for the second husband. Then after marriage, after they got married, they had a daughter. But later on, for some reason, the wife could not conceive anymore. But the husband just really sort of like pounded on the wife. And he expressed his feeling. He wanted a son. He wanted a son. He said, "I wanted a son from you." And the wife said, "Well, there's nothing I can do more because I cannot conceive anymore. I lose the ability now." He said, "Well, you are such a bad wife. If you cannot conceive a son for me, I will go out find the other woman. I need a son. I want a son to carry my name on. And you are really a bad wife. See, because of you, I was so stupid. I married you. I made a big mistake because I married you. Look, today I do not have a son. All I have is this daughter. I do not have somebody to carry my name on." So every time when the husband said these things, when the husband really just got into some kind of very unhappy conversation with a wife like that, so the wife was really hurt. She her heart was really bleeding. So she continued to draw near God. Then during her private time, during her quiet time with the Lord just told her, the Lord spoke to her heart, said, "Well, you know what your husband, the reason your husband is doing this, your husband is doing this with a purpose to hurt you, because he had his own wounds. These wounds are so deep. These wounds are untouched. These wounds are untreated. They are there. So that's why that prompted him to behave this way. That prompted him to hurt you. So what you need to do, what you should do, instead of fight back, instead of struggle, instead of retaliate, what you can do is to speak very gently, very meekly to him. Yes, I have been very selfish, wife. And I'm sorry you married me. So today you ended up in such a miserable situation, in a painful family. And there was nothing I can do now. But I will still try my best to make it up." And the husband still continues with something else like, "Your first marriage failed. It's all because of you. Because you were so careless. That's why your youngest child drowned. So that's the reason your husband divorced you in the first place. So it's all your fault. It's all your fault." But God kept telling her that every time when your husband just hurts you with these words, you just compliment him. You just praise him. Praise him for his strengths. Compliment in his strong points and strong areas. And so that's what she obeyed. And she said, "Yes, I'm sorry because I knew nothing. I was still young. So I married you. So today you did not have a son. It's my fault. Just blame me. I'm ready to take all the blames because I deserve it." And we all know it's not the case. She is not the one who should be responsible for that. But she just said those things. That's the way she replied. That's the way she reacted. That's the way she responded. At the beginning when she did that, it's so difficult. It's so hard. And it's so painful. First few time when she did that, she cried while she was doing that. She cried, and her heart just was bleeding, even though nobody can see, but her heart was bleeding. But because she did that, That really surprised, caught her husband with great surprise. And after a few quiet moments, he just kind of quieted it down a little bit. He said, well, I shouldn't be blaming you for everything, and your husband should take some part of the responsibility also. And because this wife just reacted that way, not only once or twice, but continually responded that way. So whenever, when husband picked her on some things, and she responded by gently, meekly, and sort of like accepted all the responsibility. So that just shut her husband's mouth, at least in this area. Then her husband went out to find something else to pick on her, and find something else, just try to give her a hard time. Then she responded the same way. She just took the full responsibility. She just accepted all these things, all the responsibility. She just took all these attacks. And in a very humble way, you know the result? Her husband was left speechless. That really just sort of like made her husband wondering, what is going on? What happened to her? How can she take all this? What kind of strength, what kind of power is in her so that she can take all this? She can take all the garbage from me. Not only that, every time when she just responded to her husband, she just snuck into the bathroom, had the door closed, then she just flushed the toilet. While the toilet was being flushed, she just opened her mouth loud, praised God, praised the Lord. She said, Lord, I conquered one more time. Lord, I conquered myself. I'm victorious. I claim victory in you because you are the victor. You are the ultimate victor. You are always victorious. I can claim victory in you and through you and by you. I conquered once again of my spirit of pride. See, brothers and sisters, we are all proud people. We all have this proud attitude. We all have this spirit of pride. So we are not a free man. We are under the bondage of this proud spirit, because this proud spirit is breathed into us by the evil one. Oftentimes we are so easily hurt and offended by people's words, by the way people look at us, or the way people just treated us. Then we easily gave up. We easily gave up on everything. We just quit being humble. And normally we just acted out of our instinct. Our instinct, which is the spirit of pride. So we want to fight back. We want to retaliate. We want to struggle against it. So we are so weak. Our inner self, our natural self is so big and so strong in us. Our life cannot be touched. Our spirit of pride can never be challenged, can never be touched, can never be sort of like pushed. If any words, any people, they try to do something to us, we become so defensive. And we can easily become hurt and offended and wounded. So, Christian brothers and sisters, we need to be strong for soldiers for Christ. Then how can we be? We all know that. We can even sing hymns. We can praise the Lord. We are the foot soldiers of our Jesus Christ. How can you and I be if you and I are a proud person? We are proud people. How can we be strong soldiers for the Lord? Because we are so easily struck by the arrow from the evil one. But if we humble ourselves, if we bow down, then we become smaller target. It will be more difficult for the enemy's arrows to strike us, to hit us. Because we humble ourselves. Because we're prostrate before the Lord. So we become lower target. We become smaller target. So enemy's arrow have less chances of hitting us. Not only that, sometimes when these bitter words, when people's words, people's looks, the way people behave, the way people treating us, when they really hit us, and we become more and more strong because we are more experienced, we are more seasoned in the Lord. Our faith grew in the Lord. Our spirit of humility just grew in the Lord. So we are more mature to handle all these. So this sister really just shut herself in the bathroom, and she prays, Lord, I praise your name. Lord, I conquered once again. Lord, I thank you. One more time I conquered. Lord, I thank you because you are with me. Lord, I thank you because of your presence, because of your strength, because of your humility. So I conquered again. So his inner life, his inner self became stronger and stronger as time goes by. So brothers and sisters, do you really want the salvation of the Lord become reality in your inner life? Do you want that? Do you really want that? If you do, then brothers and sisters, you and I really need to change our attitude, change the way we look at this world, change our sense of value, change our world views. So remember I said it before, because every time when the husband picked on her, she just accepted all the responsibility without arguing, without fighting back. So that shut her husband's mouth. Her husband next time needed to find something else to pick on her. But whatever thing he just said before, he could not do anything to it. He could not repeat it again. And there was no sense in repeating it again because the wife already took full responsibility of it. See, now this wife become more and more humble. And you can see the image of the Lamb become clearer in the life, in the spirit of this wife, in the spirit of this spirit. So only the humility of our Lamb can heal the wounds of this world. We all know, only after Jesus ascended to heaven, when he returned to his Father, then the Holy Spirit was sent down into this world. The Holy Spirit was sent down, descended into the hearts of each and every Christian. So that you and I will have the foundation, we will be ready to learn the lesson of growing this humility in the lives of yours and mine. So regardless what kind of environment you're in, you may be at school, you may be at your work, you may be walking down the street, just be aware, you need to carry this spirit of humility with you. Only through this humble attitude and a humble spirit will touch the lives of this lost world, will touch the lives of the lost souls of this dark world. So the people around you, they will see the difference. They will feel the difference. They can witness, they can tell there's something different inside you which they do not have. And that something is your humble attitude. That something is the heavenly quality, heavenly character of the humility. That's the most precious characteristic in heaven, which Jesus Christ brought down to this earth with him. Remember, Martina shared with me, like I said before, Martina was so surprised, was so stunned. Why? How come? Why? Ming Wen always is always willing to pick on these tough tasks. She is always willing to take the job which nobody wanted. Why? Because Ming Wen has this spirit of humility inside her. And this is the beauty of humility. The beauty of humility will be manifested. The beauty of humility will be displayed. Then that will really touch the hearts of the people around that Christian. So when you just shines the light of Christ from you, into this darkened world, then the people of this world, they will be attracted to you. Not only that, you can very easily and naturally bring the salvation to these people. So as we can see in the example of Mingwen, because of her humble attitude, so Martina is brought to the Lord. You and I all know today, not only she is a Christian, she just quit her job, she just devoted herself full time to the service of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Now, the same thing, the torch carries on because of the humility of the Lord, which is manifested by Martina. So Martina is touching more lives, both inside and outside the church. I remember a few Christians shared with me their personal experiences. They had this manager in their company, in their office. But that manager is such a humble person. Because of his attitude, because of his spirit of humility, which is displayed in his relationship with his inferiorities, with his subordinates. So all these people working for him, they were really touched by his life. They were really touched by his demeanor. They were really touched by the way he handles his people. He handles his job. So more important, more people working for him became Christian. I remember another sister shared with me, she said, before she started practicing in the land, she used to be a tigress in the family. She used to be a so-called a lioness or an empress in the family. And she is one who giving orders and commands. But now, since she started practicing the inner life, she pursues the quality from Jesus. Then she changed. Now she became a humble person. She changed entirely. And she is no longer who is the one standing up there giving orders anymore. She changed. She changed so much. So she no longer just using her bossy power to make people do any things. Because of humility, people just offer to do things her way. Isn't that amazing? So every time when we humble ourselves before God and before fellow man, and God's beauty will be shown. God's beauty will shine through us into this dark world, and people will be attracted to God. There's this Christian lady, and she had two children. The older children was born with defects, and that first daughter, which is the older daughter, had a developmental disability. Because she was born with defects in the brain. And her younger child was normal, not only normal, but a very smart, very quick, very lively child, and also lovely. So both her husband and her, the two of them, they were very frustrated about their older daughter. And because it's such a sharp contrast. The younger child was so just clever, so sharp and so quick. But on the other hand, it's almost the opposite. The older, the disabled daughter was so slow, and she had such severe defects. That's because when she was born, the way she was born, her brain was deprived of oxygen for an extended period of time, so that she had this disability. So when she was, right now she is 15 years old, but when she was in her early teens, her just mental ability was still like in the third grade. So that gave this young mother a very hard time. The young mother just tried very hard to teach the older daughter at home. Spends a lot of time with her, try to help out. But oftentimes she was so frustrated because this disability. So the daughter was extremely slow in learning new things. But since this young mother started practicing inner life, she changed. The mother changed, not the child. The mother changed. She changed her attitude. And she realized, she just looked at this daughter from a completely different perspective. She thought, and now she realized her daughter with a disability still is a very precious inheritance, very precious, valuable gift from the Lord. There was a purpose for the Lord to let her daughter be born with such a severe disability. So her daughter is very precious now. She changed. She looked at her daughter, now her attitude changed. Her heart also changed. She just treasured this disabled life very much. She found this life is still very precious. It's very, very glorious in the eyes of the Lord, despite her disabilities. Remember, like last week, I touched upon, I used another example. One guy who enjoys a very high position in the company and a well-paid job, but he seems like either ignored or neglected or sometimes even looked down upon the co-workers who are on a lower ranking and with a lower paid jobs. But brothers and sisters, that's the world point of view. That's the worldly value systems. That's the way people look at people. People interact with other people from the world point of view. But now, this young mother changed. Her heart is changed. And she just spends more time with her daughter. She just poured more love from the Lord onto this daughter. And another sister from the same church, when she was spending her time, private time with the Lord said, well, go ahead and tell that young mother, you need to proclaim every time when you start to spend time with your daughter, you need to proclaim victory in the Lord. You need to proclaim in the presence of everybody, say, Lord, give me this, give me your wisdom, give me your strength and power. So you need to proclaim in the Lord, Lord, you are the one who grants the wisdom. You are the one who gives the strength and power. I just trust you. I rely on you. So this young mother humbled herself before the Lord. So the young mother also shared her vision, shared her understanding of the message of the Lord with her husband. The husband changed also. The husband used to be so frustrated and he gave up on hope on this daughter a long time ago. So he just spent the most time on himself to enjoy his own life. Now he changed. He also came home, spent more time with his daughter. And he started to teach his daughter the English words and all the math. And the couple just started, both started to practice in the life. After about a year or so, now the child changed. The parents can see the change. Parents can see the growth in this disabled child. Before, this child was on third grade level, but after only about a year, and the child can catch up now with the early years of middle school. And she was still in sort of like enrolled in a special education class. But in her special education class, she is not only catching up, but she ended up, surprisingly, she was able to get straight A's in her class. And not only that, she is on the level of early middle school levels now. So it's so surprising, it's so amazing, it's so shocking. And a local newspaper even featured the story, featured this whole thing of this disabled girl. And the people even just call them and say, hey, you know, your daughter is featured in today's local paper. See, this is what God wanted us to do. No matter what we receive from God, God has a purpose for it. So what is humility then? Humility is an attitude. Humility is a heart to joyfully, to just gladly receive whatever environment God has measured out for you. To receive whatever things God has planned, God has put into your life. So in this particular instance, first, this young mother herself, she was freed. Her spirit was freed. Then her husband's spirit was freed. Her husband was liberated from his frustration, from his depression. But now, ultimately, finally, we witnessed that their disabled daughter was freed, was liberated from his disability. She just transcends the restrictions, the restraints of her disability, and she excelled. Isn't that amazing? Thank God for that. This really teaches us lesson one more time. Our God, Jesus Christ, He humbled Himself. Because He humbled Himself to take the appearance of a man, to choose to die on the cross for the iniquities of us all. That's through that He brought this salvation into this world. He made His salvation for this world a reality for each and every one of us. So that's the attitude we need to take, because Jesus made Himself of no reputation. That's one way of translating it. Made Himself of no reputation, which really should be a good example for us. We are all after esteem. We are all after respect. We are all after position. But no, Jesus said no. Don't go that route. Jesus made Himself of no reputation. Jesus made Himself of nothing. This nothingness is the ultimate example of humility. Like the sister we just mentioned before, when the husband picked on her, when the husband attacked her, when the husband tried to really put her down, and how did she respond? How did she react? She just took it peacefully. She just accepted her responsibility. She did not attack. She did not fight back. She did not retaliate. She did not defend herself. So, brothers and sisters, do we really want the salvation of our Lord to become reality in our inner lives? Do we really desire it? We really want it? Do we really have a heart for it? We want to make it a part of our inner life? Then we really need to pray to Jesus. Jesus, help me. Jesus, change me. Jesus, give me a heart, give me a new attitude, which is an attitude that you had, that you carried when you were on this earth, which is you made yourself of nothing. You made yourself of no reputation. Lord, let me just take this attitude. Lord, let me just make that attitude as mine. May Lord help us so we have this thirst for Him. We have this thirst for His humility. We have this thirst for His life, not ours. So He can continue to work in us, so we can become more and more like Him. We will become more and more humble, first before Him, then before the people around us. That only when we have this spirit of humility, we can really just touch the hearts of our spouse. We can touch the hearts of our family members. We can touch the hearts of our boss. We can touch the hearts of the people we come into contact with. So Christians, we really need to humble ourselves. We really need to come before Lord and make a decision, make a determination. Lord, I want You. I want nothing else. I want You, Yourself. Lord, I want Your life to be my life. Lord, I want You to work inside me, to help me, to give me this new attitude, to give me this new heart, so I can become more like You. I can become more humble. I can really have this humble attitude, this humble heart, this spirit of humility inside me, so I can touch the lives of the people around me. Lord, I thank You. Lord, I pray to You so You will help me. So we really need You. We really need to pray to God so God will help us. We really need to urge God to pray that urgently, and we will just really pour our heart to God if we really have this genuine thirst for the humility, that's the quality of Jesus. That's the spirit of Jesus. That's the spirit that Jesus brought down to this earth through his sacrificial love on the cross, through his own manifestation of humility on the cross. Let's sing this song. The title of this song is, Lord, I want to be nothing before you. I want to be nothing. I am nothing before other men. Pastor John's message terminates here.